Hello, and welcome to the Rooted in Reliability podcast, your plant performance podcast, where we dive deeper into asset management techniques and know-how. I'm your host, James Kovacevic, and I will be your guide to achieving industry best practice. The Rooted in Reliability podcast is here to provide you with the insights to improve plant performance and deliver bottom-line results to your organization. In case you missed the last episode, you can find the Rooted in Reliability podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and on the reliability.fm network. Don't forget to subscribe so you'll never miss an episode. Now let's dive into today's topic. It is my pleasure to welcome back John Lambert, Benchmark PDM. Welcome back, John.
Yeah, nice to be here.
Thanks for joining us again. I know I got a lot of good feedback from the previous conversation we had around belt and chain and lock alignment with pulleys and sprockets and all those great things. And figure we get you to come back and talk about a specific topic of thermal growth and what the importance of that is in alignment. But before we dive into that, you're the founder of Benchmark PDM. Prior to that, you led RCM rollouts and TQM rollouts in a variety, I believe it was Owens Corning?
Yes, that was one place.
Excellent. So you've got a wide breadth of experience in maintenance and reliability. But can you tell us a little bit more about your background and Benchmark PDM?
Well, yes, I guess. I do have a varied background. I actually started on the tools and really enjoyed being a tradesman. So I've had many roles, from a shop maintenance guy to a foreman, lead hand, supervisor, superintendent, and I was also a training instructor. But I've been in aero industry and mainly in Fiberglass Canada and some other businesses before I started my own company, which is about 23 years in the making now. So I do have some experience.
And you've been involved in alignment and precision maintenance through virtually most of your career then?
Well, yes. Obviously, as a tradesman, yes. And then I got more and more involved in it as I got into supervision.
So over that wide range of career, you've been involved with alignment and precision maintenance for a long time. How long have you been involved with alignment?
I actually started many, many years ago, just using a straight edge like the vast majority of tradesmen back in the day. However, I started taking it more seriously when working as a supervisor, and I took some training about 35 years ago in learning the reverse dial alignment procedure and also how to be able to graph misalignment, as I said, 35 years ago.
Yeah, and I bet you it's a lot different now from the graphing that you've done then and the reverse dial indicator to some of the new tools and technology that's available to us now.
Well, that is true, but funnily enough, we still train people how to be able to do reverse dial and to graph. And the reason why that is a pictorial view, a picture of misalignment. And it really helps the people understand, you know, what it is that they're trying to do. Even with lasers, we still run through sometimes dial alignment.
Now, we're going back to those basics, but what is the one thing that's often overlooked during installation and alignment of larger equipment?
I don't focus just on alignment. I look at the complete installation process. If you take a precision maintenance approach, there's a lot of things that are overlooked. I'm talking about coupling runouts, mechanical looseness, base flatness, softfoot, etc. In general, to pick one item that is consistently overlooked in regards to what we used to call bad actors, I would say it's offline to running conditions, which many people still call thermal growth.
So you said it's offline to running conditions, which people call thermal growth. So can you explain a bit more on offline to running conditions?
Well, offline to running, it's known for its acronym OLTR. It's the positional change of the shaft center lines as the machine units move from offline, which is ambient temperature or normal temperature, to online operating temperature. Operating temperature can be both cold and hot. Most machines get hotter, but for some machines, they get colder and shrink, or even a combination of both. For instance, a blower, the inlet of a blower can be freezing, but the outlet, you can't put your hand on it, it's so hot. So it's a combination. OL2R is a little bit more than just thermal growth, though. We try to measure the process changes, the surge, the movement of a motor when it's under torque.
Now, specifically, thinking about thermal growth, what is thermal growth? What causes it to occur?
Okay, thermal growth is machine movement due normally from heat. When something gets hot, it grows in size in all directions, up, down, left, right, as well as along its length. If we consider a simple electric motor as an example, if it gets hot, it grows in all directions. If the motor wants to grow, expand in the horizontal direction, let's say, it can because there is no restrictions. However, when talking about vertical direction, up and down, it cannot go down because the base is restricting it. This means that the heat lifts the motor up, therefore moves the shaft, putting the machine unit into a misaligned condition.
This podcast is brought to you by Iridicio. Be sure to check out iridicio.com for a free copy of their ebook, A Smarter Way of Preventative Maintenance. This ebook will allow you to review your current maintenance program and eliminate the non-value added work you are doing, which is most likely causing you more downtime than it is preventing. www.iridicio.com.
And with that, does the materials impact that? Does the size of the equipment impact that? Or is it just pretty much universal, everything increases?
Well, everything increases.
So when should thermal growth be taken into consideration then?
Whenever there's a significant temperature difference between one machine and the other, if you can touch one and it feels cool to the touch and the other is hot, you take a simple temperature reading. If they are different, ask the manufacturer what is normal operating temperature. You should also ask if the machines need to be offset due to thermal growth. The OEM manufacturer is always the first place to start.
So if an organization doesn't take into account thermal growth, what are the consequences that could potentially occur?
Quite simply, thermal growth is dynamic stress. And if you leave a machine under stress, it will fail prematurely. Stress is a machine killer.
So we introduce stress and it causes premature failure on bearings, on seals, on a variety of different components of that equipment, correct?
Of course, its seal will go first, the bearing will go second, the bearing seizes on the shaft third. It's a process, but basically it's a machine killer, stress.
Okay. Now, how does one incorporate that thermal growth or consider it in their alignment activities?
That's actually relatively easy, but first of all, you have to be aware that thermal growth is a possibility and that it should be considered. Next, when evaluating the machine units, take a simple temperature measurement. If both machines are equal temperature, you don't need to take any action. If they are different, you make a calculation and take action accordingly.
Do manufacturers always include what they expect that thermal growth to be, or do we have to use calculations every time?
No, not at all. Some include the information like Hoffman blowers. They have a plate on the side of the machine, which is very handy. That'll tell you what the target should be and how to be able to compensate for it. Others may have it buried in a manual. That's if you can find a manual. Others don't like to give the information out at all because they want to do the service work on the machine, which really means that finding information is pretty hit and miss.
So if we don't have that information, how do we determine the amount of thermal growth that we need to compensate for?
Well, there is a simple formula where you multiply the temperature differential by the height of the machine. Now, the height of the machine is from the base to the center of the shaft. Then by the coefficient of expansion for the type of metal that the machine is made out of. It's relatively simple to do. But there are other ways, such as using a laser to measure it.
Now, when we talk about those thermal expansion coefficients, are we looking at what the majority of that machine is? So for a motor, the cast iron frame, or are we looking at the rotor, or which ones do we pick for that material?
It's going to be the casing that's going to grow. So if you had a piece of compressor, it could be just mild steel, say, for instance. A motor could be aluminum if it's an aluminum motor. But usually they're all very close to each other when you're talking metal, iron.
Now, how will we know if we've calculated it correctly? If we did use this formula, we've determined it. How do we know if we're right?
Well, the best way is by measuring with vibration as it comes online. And the best case scenario is that it starts off a little rough because you've offset it, and then it lowers into acceptable tolerances as it heats up. So vibration is the best.
As you said, we'd be able to see the trend of vibration increasing as it warms up and as it grows, and that's an indication that we didn't calculate it quite correctly. But if it starts low and remains low, we won't see that significant change. The vibration
That's
should
correct.
Stay relatively level. Okay.
That's correct, yeah.
Now, do we have to consider any balancing issues as a result of this thermal growth?
No, it's the two different entities. But balancing is always should be something that's always considered on this sort of stuff.
Now, you've worked with thermal growth for a while. Do you have any tips or words of wisdom for people that are working with it or new to it?
Well, if somebody needs help on this subject, there's a three-part article that I wrote on our website that they should read. It would be far too much information for this podcast, but I can give you the links. I will give you the link, and you can share it with anybody that has an interest in it.
So I will make sure to include those three links within the show notes, so you can just go to the show notes, click the button, and it'll take you right there. Now, what is the one thing you typically see done incorrectly with thermal growth?
To be honest with you, that it's ignored. People don't really understand it, so they ignore it, don't consider it.
What could organizations do more of to make sure there's an awareness of that?
The best call for action is basically is to get a temperature gun and put it into somebody's hands and let them take temperature readings of the machines. If they see a large temperature difference, it should give them food for thought to ask the question why, and should we be considering thermal growth? And then that gets them on the path. But if you don't have a temperature gun, if you don't know the operating temperature of your machine, unfortunately, you're in ignorance. You don't know. So to measure, of course, is to know. So I would make sure that people who are responsible for machinery actually do take temperature readings in the planes of the machine's feet and compare them to others.
And the one thing I may add to that is as you move and you grow in maturity in your maintenance reliability program, you're going to develop job plans and procedures to do these sorts of things. And I would make sure that you include a line within that job plan and procedure to indicate if you need to consider thermal growth on that specific piece of equipment based on your past experience. And if you're not sure, that you at least call out that you need to investigate and consider thermal growth as part of that alignment procedure. I think that's critical. We don't have job plans for everything, but at least calling it out on that procedure triggers people to look at it, just like using a checklist. Now, what is the one thing you would change regarding thermal growth if you could?
Well, for me, I'm working on this now. I would like to see better ways of being able to measure thermal growth, and I would also like to simplify it using a laser. I am actually currently working on this now to see if I can make improvements on it. But it's not easy to measure, or even the calculation is simple, but we really could do with measure. Because as I said, to measure is to know.
Now, what is the one action you want our listeners to take away from this conversation today regarding thermal growth? What can they do differently in their plants today or tomorrow?
First of all, they have to be aware of thermal growth. And that thermal growth causes dynamic stress, and stress causes machine failure. They also need to be aware that the machines will grow axially, horizontally, as well as vertically. And for an action, as I said before, if they just simply take temperature readings of their machines to get a better understanding of the different operating temperatures between them, this should give them food for thought as to what action they should take next.
So when you say between them, you're talking about the stationary and movable part, either side of that, a coupling or alignment.
I'm sorry, to take measurements?
Yes.
Now, the best place to take measurements is in the planes of the machine's feet. So where the mounting bolt is, direct straight up to the center of the shaft. You can only move a machine with shims or lift or lower in those planes. So that's the plane where you have to measure. In front of it doesn't really matter because there's a space it can grow down. To the back of it, it doesn't matter because it can also grow down. But it can't push down in the planes of the machine's feet, so that's where you measure. I'll just say that again. It's from the base in the plane, in the line, if you like, of where the hold-down bolt is to the center of the shaft is the area that you need to measure with a temperature gun.
And once you've taken that measurement for, say, the stationary piece of equipment, do you compare that to the movable piece of equipment?
That's right.
Okay. And if there's a large difference between those two, that should trigger that we may need to consider thermal growth in this application.
That's right. But even on the one machine, if you just take a simple electric motor, usually the front of the motor will grow hotter than the back because that's where the cooling fan is. Now, if there's a temperature difference between the front and back feet, that will come out as an angular measurement. So, yes, it's the temperature differences between the two machines, but also worth considering the temperature differences between the two feet to two sets of feet on the one machine.
Very good. Well, John, I've learned more about thermal growth. Again, every time we talk about this subject, I learn more, so I appreciate that. Where can people find out more about you? What events or activities are you involved with at the moment, or is Benchmark involved with at the moment?
Best place to learn about me, I guess, I think you should start off at our website, www.benchmarkpdm.com. You can find out more information on what it is we do and our products. Then you can always pick up the phone or email us if you have a question on any of our services or anything else like that. And as for activities, we are currently doing a workshop across Canada on condition-based maintenance. So you'll find the information for that also on our site.
Excellent. I will make sure to link to that through the show notes. And for those in Canada, it's not just Toronto. There's going to be a show in London I saw. There's one up in Whitby. They're all over the place. So if you're in Canada, I highly encourage you to get an opportunity to go look at these. I know, John, I'm going to try and make it up to the London one if I'm not out in Brazil at the moment. Now, do you have any other resources you want to share with our listeners? We have the 3-part article on thermal growth on your website, which we'll link to. We have the workshop. Is there anything else on your website that...
If they go to our site, under resources, they will see more articles on lots of different subjects. Yeah, on machinery installation. So they can find it all there, and they can... ask questions, they can read it, and if they've got a question, by all means, just fire a question to us and to me, and you'll see my emails right there. We don't mind sharing anything of that nature.
All right. Well, perfect. Thank you, John, for taking the time out of your day to do this. I know it's not easy at times, and I very much appreciate it, and I'm sure our listeners do as well. So thank you very much.
Okay. All right. You're welcome.
I would like to thank you for listening and remind you that you can always find out more on maintenance, reliability, and asset management at www.iridicio.com and by following our blog. The Rooted in Reliability podcast is a proud member of the Reliability.fm network. I'd like to ask you to please rate and review this podcast on iTunes or Stitcher. It ensures the podcast stays relevant and is easy to find by like-minded professionals. It is only with your ratings and reviews that the Rooted in Reliability podcast can continue to grow. I thank you for providing this small but critical support. We'll see you next week when we dive into another burning topic with Rooted in Reliability, your plant performance podcast.